This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
I can't believe I'm saying this. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. Why did Jennifer Aniston start a hair care company? Because she was tired of choosing between hair products that work and hair products that are actually good for us. But thanks to Lola V, we never have to choose again. No silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, it's cruelty-free and vegan. The Glossing Detangler and Perfect Conditioner are my personal favorites. Not only do they repair the look of damaged hair, but they also shield it from future harm. The first step to unlocking confidence in your dating life and your daily life is feeling confident about your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. And as listeners of Seeing Other People, you're getting an exclusive 15% off of your entire order when you use code Seeing Other People at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Seeing Other People. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support Seeing Other People and let them know that I sent you. Hey guys, it's Alana, and welcome back to another episode of Seeing Other People. Together, we're navigating modern dating alongside experts and real-life daters who are sharing their stories. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Come learn, laugh, and maybe even cry along with us as we navigate the dating scene together. Hey guys, it's Alana, and welcome back for another episode of Seeing Other People. I am back here on the comfy couch with Kayla Kleinman. Kayla, welcome to Seeing Other People.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. I feel like as soon as I found out about you, I was like, I feel so connected to you without knowing you, without fully relating to all of your content, but wanting to relate to all of your content. And I don't know, I just feel like you were somebody I was so excited to get to know. And so I'm so excited that you're here. And I'm so excited that the Seeing Other People family gets to know you too.
Oh my God, thank you. I feel like I'm like on my favorite like podcast right now. So I'm like, okay, be cool.
Stop.
Like, don't make it weird.
Now I'm going to
be chill.
You're making me feel starstruck now. But I seriously am so excited to have you. Can you tell the family a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I'm Kayla. I wear many hats in life. I am a content creator talking about all things being in your 30s, realistic approach to wellness, just like life in New York City. And I'm also a social media manager in the book industry with a previous life in wellness and fitness.
Amazing. So I love hearing people's journeys to where they are now, because no journey is linear and very few journeys were expected.
Yes.
So can we start with like, what did you think when you were like going into college? What did you set out to do?
That is a great question. I set out to be a Broadway star.
Oh my God. Okay. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Curveball, having nothing. Hello, Barkley.
Barkley's like trying to love on Kayla right now.
Barkley and I are having a nice bond.
I love that you're being quiet, but you also have to like sit still and let the girls girl. Okay, we'll work on it.
Hello.
Oh my God. Back to what we were saying. Broadway star.
I went to college for theater, and that was really what my focus was for really the first 22 years of my life, was just like hyper-focused on that life. I went to college for theater, and while I was in college and going through the beating that is theater school and a very intense theater program, I found fitness. And I'd always been kind of active, but was like not a sporty girl growing up at all. And I really kind of found a sense of peace at the gym, especially when everything else felt so chaotic outside of it. So while I was getting ready to graduate, I was like, okay, I'm going to like become a personal trainer and group fitness instructor and do that on the side while I audition for theater and acting opportunities. As it turns out, being a fitness instructor in New York City is really hard to get a job, especially when you're new to the industry. So I ended up kind of not finding any opportunities.
You were pursuing two things that were very difficult to find work doing.
Yeah. And to begin with acting, I was kind of already not over it, but just the process of theater school had kind of gotten to me. So I was just no longer interested. And then I accidentally ended up in social media marketing. So while I was in college, I started a blog, which became kind of my social media presence now, many, many years later. And through that blog, I got noticed by ClassPass, which at that point was like this teeny tiny startup called Classtivity. And
they're like, Wait, what?
Yeah. So they reached out to me. They're like, hey, we like saw your blog. Do you want to come work for us? And I was a very early employee there and ended up doing social media there, which kind of was my like first intro to doing social media marketing, and then stayed in social media marketing in the fitness world for a couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And it, in a way, it's like everything that you were doing and wanted to do does kind of relate to what you're doing now.
Yeah. I think I always joke that the through line is I am a performer at heart. So like any opportunity to perform in some way, whether it is as a fitness instructor, making TikToks for work, or being actually on stage way back when, I feel like I've just always been like a performer in my soul.
You know what? I love that though, because it's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
First and foremost, it's fun. And when everything gets stressful, when work gets exhausting, you can go back to that. This is something you enjoy doing and find fulfillment in. And I think that comes across so much in your content. You guys, if you haven't seen Kayla's content, like please go look at it right now. Her accounts are linked in the show notes. Every single thing that you post, just like it's uplifting, it's lighthearted, it's aspirational, but not in an unattainable way. And what excites me the most and why I was so excited to talk to you is because you radiate this idea that loving yourself is so hard to do, but you like yourself. Mm-hmm. You like yourself. You like spending time with yourself. You like who you are. You know yourself. And that is so inspiring and something that I know we all struggle so much to figure out. And so I'd love to hear what your journey to loving yourself, liking yourself, respecting yourself, whatever it is that you would call it. Like, how did that unfold amidst all the career stuff and personal stuff and going through your 20s and you're turning 34, right?
Yes.
Exciting. Happy almost birthday.
Thank you.
But what was that journey like for you?
It's interesting, and I think journey is a good word for it, and it's kind of always ebbing and flowing. I've always been someone that likes my alone time, that growing up, I have like really distinct memories of like when my family would come home from vacation, within like 5 minutes of getting home, my older brother would have like a group of friends over in the basement, like ready to go and like play video games. And I'd be like up in my room decompressing.
Like recharging, like recharging into the wall.
From being
leave
with,
me alone.
Being with people. And I think that's probably like the first time I realized that I'm a more introverted person by nature. And I think in college, it really became more of that practice of I was in New York City for college, and a lot of the stuff that I wanted to do, some of my friends maybe didn't want to do or like weren't interested in, whatever it was. And I was like, okay, I'm going to like start doing things on my own. So I'd go see theater on my own. I would like have my little like weekend adventures of like things that I wanted to do and places that I wanted to like explore. So I think it was kind of just like out of necessity at first. And then as time has gone on, I feel like I'm really proud of that relationship that I've built with myself. I've lived alone for a long time. And if anything, maybe like too long now, that the reverse is going to be a culture shock for me. But I think it's really just a matter of like getting used to it. And also just like really, I think once I realized that there's a difference between alone and lonely, that kind of opened it all up for me. That like just because you're on your own doesn't mean it has to be this like sad situation or like woe is me. And of course there's like moments of that, and certainly in the last couple of years there's been moments of that, but I think more than anything, like that real just like comfort and like, oh, I'm in my home, I'm doing, whether I'm like reading or taking a bath or doing whatever, it's like, oh, I'm doing these things that I enjoy, and like being happy enough on my own to be like, oh, this is like enjoyable in its own way.
That's incredible, and I applaud younger you for, you know, going for it and doing the things you want to do. And I know when I was in college, if my friends didn't want to do something, that was, I wasn't going to go do it. Why would I ever think to go do it by myself? Like that wasn't in my mind an option, but it was. I was holding myself back. And anytime I see anybody like out to dinner by themselves, I'm like, that is badass. That is awesome. Good for them. I remember I once was at like my favorite restaurant and I saw a girl there just like with a book and her sushi. And I'm like, that is goals right there.
Yeah.
Like, but why won't I go do that? Like,
why don't
I just take myself out? And I think, you know, you made a choice. You were like, there are things I want to do. I'm in this place and I'm going to go do them. And I think that making that choice and choosing yourself and choosing activity or choosing bath, choosing book, that's helpful in separating the lonely from alone.
Totally. Yeah. I really like that way of thinking of it. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you ever feel like any anxiety around it at all? Like, was it nerve wracking at first or scary at first? Or were you just like, I'm just going to go do it?
Yes and no. I was trying to remember, like, what was the first theater thing that I saw on my own? And I don't even remember because that's how, like, not a big deal it was. I think also being a theater major in college, we got, like, sent to so many shows for class assignments.
And going to a show was, like, your comfort zone.
Yeah, it was comfort zone or, like, oh, I have to, like, go for a class assignment. So, like, we're all just trying to squeeze it in with our schedule anyway.
You guys know that I struggle with confidence. I'm always my biggest critic, and when I notice something about myself that I don't like, I can't stop fixating on it. I'm working on all of this, but it can be hard. A year ago, I noticed that my hair was thinning, and I was finding more and more strands of hair on the floor every time I would walk around my apartment. When I would look down in the shower, I would freak out at what I saw in the drain. That's when I opened up to my best friend, who happens to be a doctor, and she said two things that changed my life. The first was that she knows so many women our age going through the same thing. The second is that she told me to try Nutrafol. And so I did. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. A year later and a month before my wedding, and I cannot believe the number of people who have been complimenting how long, strong, and healthy my hair looks. I never imagined that this would happen. And naturally, as a result, my confidence has transformed. I'm no longer self-conscious when it comes to my hair. And honestly, that is a huge, huge, huge personal win for me. And you guys know I'm hilariously bad at sticking with habits and taking something every day or doing something every day. But with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online with no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure that you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months, and trust me, it is worth the wait. You can start so easily by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering the Seeing Other People family $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Seeing Other People. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. When I first started Seeing Other People, some of my closest friends and family could not believe it. Not because they didn't think I was capable of being a podcast host, but because I usually can't get through a sentence without sniffling. And during allergy season, forget about it. My seasonal allergies are debilitating, and my sinus congestion and pressure has always left me feeling so sick. But luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Claritin D has truly transformed my life. Not only can I breathe better and sleep better since taking Claritin D, but I also can get through the day so much smoother. I used to have to cancel plans because of how bad my allergies were. I'd go through a tissue box a week, sometimes more, and my eyes were always watery. But Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes, and it tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. It's truly the greatest thing I've ever come across, and I am so grateful that I found it and started using it. Are you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
I just done my big first solo trip in June, so like a little less than a year ago, and it was interesting. I had some, I was having some like medical issues that like were related to anxiety that I've been having in general, but it's weird because I wasn't like anxious about being there, and if anything, I think people were like, oh my God, like what a big deal. And I was like, honestly, this doesn't feel very different than my like New York life. Like
you're just somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm just like in London and taking the tube instead of the subway. But I was like, oh, what am I doing here? I'm going to bookstores and seeing theater on my own. Like literally what my life is in New York as well. But I think it's interesting. There's like moments where I feel more self-conscious of it versus not. I think like eating for me is still like maybe not my favorite thing to do solo. Whereas like theater, I'm like, I don't care. Like once the lights go down, you're not talking to someone anyway. And even like concerts alone, to me, sometimes there is like, I don't know, kind of comfort in being like, oh, I don't need to worry about someone else's enjoyment or do they want to leave early or do they want to arrive at a certain time. There's like something a little bit freeing to me about like being on my own schedule.
That I've never thought of.
Yeah.
That is so powerful. Yeah. Being able to leave somewhere when you want.
I kind of love it. Yeah.
And not have to worry. Okay, I'm sorry. And if the person who did this to me listens to this, like I am calling you out, but listen, I like to go to bed early.
Yeah.
I get tired. Yeah. I have a low social battery despite speaking publicly for a living.
I get it.
I am known to like maybe leave parties a little early. Sue me. So I recently went to a 30th birthday party and I got there probably at like 9. It was at a bar and I was really tired, but I was like, I'm gonna stay as long as I can. Maybe got there a little earlier, like 8:45, whatever. It's like 10:30. Some people are like starting to leave, starting to trickle out, and I'm like, listen, I came, I celebrated, I'm tired, but like, you know what? I'm going to try and stay till 11, just to cross that 11 mark.
Yeah.
It hits 11. It's around like 11:10 now. I go to say bye to the birthday girl. She pulls out her phone, looks at the clock and goes, wow, you stayed out past your bedtime.
People do eyes to me all the time.
Like, let me live.
Yeah.
Let me live. I showed up. What more do you want from me?
I think my friends have such a low expectation of me. Like, it was my best friend's birthday last weekend. And I think he was just like, you came to Brooklyn. That was like more than I thought you were going to do. Like,
just appreciate us for who we are.
Exactly.
Like, if we put on the outfit, we commuted, we showed up, we had a drink, we had a good time, we celebrated. Now can we go home?
Yeah. Now you know your limit. I think there's something to be said about knowing your limit.
Yeah.
Even with socializing. I think that's a very real thing.
I don't want to bring people down with my tiredness.
Exactly.
That's not fair to anyone.
You're not going to be fun anymore. No. So time to go.
So that is awesome. And a way I've never looked at going to an event or a show or concert or wherever alone is like, you come and go when you want and you don't owe anybody anything.
Exactly. If you're over it or want to leave or stay or whatever it is, I think that part is very freeing to me of like you're on your own journey and timeline and like not worried about if someone else is like ready to leave or wants to stay, whatever it is.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. So you mentioned living alone.
Yes.
Which, for the record, your apartment is the best looking apartment I've ever seen in my life. Like, please come redo my entire.
I can take no credit for it. I worked with an interior designer, but thank you.
It's incredible. It's literally stunning. Like, and all of your videos, I'm like, oh, this is goals. Okay. I know that for me, living alone was a huge, it played a huge role in me learning to appreciate my time, my space, hanging out with myself. You've lived alone for a long time.
Yeah.
What advice do you have for anyone who's maybe considering living alone? Maybe they're living with roommates and they've always thought they're a roommate person, but an opportunity to live alone or the thought is crossing their mind. Like, what advice would you have for somebody getting comfortable in their own space, in their own skin, not being surrounded by people all the time?
Totally. It's definitely a process. And I think kind of reminding yourself that I often joke about that it's kind of like a muscle, and maybe that's my like fitness background, but like anything, the first time you do a push-up, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be uncomfortable. You probably can't do a lot of them. Maybe you do a different variation of it to make it more doable, but the more time that goes on, the more you do it, the more often you do it, the like less awkward it becomes, the stronger you become, the more like natural it feels, and like soon enough, you're like, oh, like 10 push-ups, whatever. Obviously, this is like a very long-winded theoretical metaphor. But just kind of that idea of like, don't let that first moment and that first little bit decide how you feel about it. Like, settle into it. I think find find those like home hobbies, whether it's reading or puzzles or having like your little TV show marathons.
I miss puzzles so much. I have nowhere to do puzzles in this apartment and it like pains me. Like this coffee table is just too small and Barkley would eat the puzzle pieces. Like I need like a full kitchen table that I don't
like
have.
A high up thing.
Miss puzzles, continue.
but exactly, those kind of things that are like solo activities that you can do on your own and enjoy yourself. And then like really leaning into like, what is it that I like? Is it the decorating and being able to do what I want? Is it the fact that like when I leave something out, no one cares or touches my things? Is it the fact that I can have, I mean, I live in a very pink apartment. To me, it's like no one could have told me otherwise. Like I didn't care. It's my apartment. I'm going to do what I want with it. And I think just like finding that way to like enjoy your time on your own. It's interesting. I moved into my old apartment. I guess I was 20. So I was like pretty young. But I like have memories of that first night being like, oh, wow, this is my like first night in my apartment on my own. And then kind of after that, just like settling into like, oh, like I love listening to a podcast while I make dinner and then like continuing to listen to the podcast or like saving my shows for while I eat, stuff like that, and stuff that I'm just like, oh, like I love these little rituals and routines that I have with myself. And not, I think that's actually a big thing, is like having those rituals and routines that are with yourself and not just with someone else.
Yeah, those little like micro dates with yourself and just the little things that you can look forward to. Like it might be so scary at first and then all of a sudden you'll be like, I can't wait to go home and put on my robe and have like robe time.
Yes.
Or do my skincare routine and not worry about anyone else like judging me for having my weird red LED light
exactly.
mask
yeah.
on. Like, whatever,
doing your thing.
Yeah, whatever it is. I don't remember my first night here, but I remember the night that I came back. It was a few months after I moved in. It was when my parents sold our house and I left my house for the last time. And I came here and I had this really, I remember walking in being like, well, this is my home now. And that was a weird feeling.
Yeah, I feel like that's got to be a weird shift.
That was really weird. Yeah, like, that was so strange for me. And I was like, all right. It was like bittersweet. I was like, you know what? And I was living alone at the time. And I was like, I'm going to make the most of it. Like, why don't I make this place into a place that I can love? I'm still not there yet, but we're working.
But your home.
But it is
making
my home.
Your home.
It
yeah.
is my home and it's comfortable and it's chill and it's just like my little cave that I spend pretty much all my time in to a fault. But I really did learn to love being able to do whatever I wanted in it and being able to not have anyone, like you said, like leave your clothes everywhere.
Yeah.
I think it is really empowering just having something that's just yours.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. There are a few things that you have posted on your Instagram lately that I felt really like, I don't even know if the word is like inspired or curious, but I wanted to hear more and I wanted to learn more. And I thought that the listeners would really like to hear about them. So the first one is you had a list of things that you stopped doing.
Yes.
And I think that, first of all, creating a list of things that you want to stop doing is awesome and everybody should do that, myself included. But being able to create a list of things that you stopped doing is so badass and impressive. So some of the things on that list were you stopped letting fear make decisions for you.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Therapy, first and foremost. I think that's been a really big journey for me, and as someone who has a tendency towards anxiety, I think for me a big thing I've been working on is like, okay, what is my anxiety versus like what is the actual situation? And like, is it the fear and the anxiety related stuff telling me that I don't want to do something or like freaking out? Or is it like the reality? And like, where is that line? And I think it's definitely something I'm still like a work in progress about. And it's not 100% of the time, but just kind of taking those moments to pause and be like, okay, what's really going on here? Do I not want to go to this thing because I don't actually want to go to it? Or is it because I'm anxious about going to that and I'm worried about X, Y, and Z? And like, is that different than like just flat out not wanting to do something?
Right.
And there is that difference.
In those moments that you realize like, okay, this is my anxiety, do you like honor your anxiety and like not go? Or do you try and encourage yourself like, okay, like just try?
Yeah. It's I try to push through it, and sometimes you don't always have a choice as far as like can't back out of certain things that I know I like had a big work trip last year that like I was just like really anxious about some aspects of it, and I was like, you have to get on that plane, like,
right? You don't have to. This is your
you
job.
Can't just be like, sorry, can't go, like
not in the mood. Not,
I don't feel like it. Like if I would have not wanted to go, I would have had to tell them a while back. And I think for me, I'm a big like paper and pen person in those moments of just like, I don't know, I sometimes just like write out of like, okay, here's what I'm feeling, here are like all of my like catastrophizing that I am doing, and then like give myself 15 minutes to like have a meltdown essentially. Mm-hmm. Like I will time my meltdown, and then after that it's like, nope, we're moving on. Ooh. Of like, I literally, that's my like extreme case scenario. Like obviously for a lot of things it's not that bad, but like in the extreme moments it's like literally I'll like time out, give myself time to be like, okay, for the next 10-15 minutes, like have your feels, yeah, get it out, and then like we're moving on.
Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by two sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Raise your hand if you have dating anxiety. All right. I know that everyone has their hands up, and I get it. I had debilitating anxiety when I was single. And even when I first started dating Jake, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I know that is not a good way to feel, and that is not a fun way to date. And I get it. It can be hard to find an anxiety relief tactic that works for you. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to a new one that has helped me dramatically with my wedding and work stress and anxiety over the last few months. And trust me, there's been a lot of it. Sunset Lake CBD is an amazing company that not only has helped me feel so much better, but they also have a really cool history and mission. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. As farmers, they believe in providing only top-shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. So they cut out the middlemen and they ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means that their CBD is affordable and trusted because CBD and anxiety relief can help everyone, and they want it to be accessible to anyone. Trust me when I say that when I'm stressed or anxious, my sleep is the first thing to go. But despite everything I have going on right now, I've been taking a sleep gummy before bed, and my sleep scores on my Oura Ring have been through the roof. Plus, I'm finding myself relaxing more at night and being able to turn off my work brain and my anxiety with the help of their CBD gummy bears and reishi infused chews. Whether you want to sleep better, relax better, focus better, recover better, or anything in between, Sunset Lake CBD has something for everyone. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. That's code SOP for 20% off. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD. You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from the best of the best, Jenny Kane. And yes, there is a discount, so keep on listening.
You know that feeling when you get a new sweater and it instantly becomes basically another layer of your skin? Like you wear it everywhere, for everything, all the time. Okay, well, Jenny Kane has become my literal uniform. And if you don't know Jenny Kane, I'm pretty much about to change your life because Jenny Kane's clothes did that to mine. Jenny Kane is a California brand with luxurious staples that will transform your closet. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. They have the coziest cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories that will elevate your everyday basics. I don't know if I wear my cashmere fisherman hoodie or my cropped cashmere cocoon cardigan more. All I know is that I cannot live without either of them. Whether it's a cozy night in with the girls, a dinner date with Jake, or catching a flight to Florida to see my parents, these sweaters are perfect for every single occasion, and I couldn't be happier when I'm wearing them because I'm so comfy. And you guys know me, I always choose comfort over how something looks, but with Jenny Kane, I don't have to choose because I get comfort and I get style. All right, so we have the discount code coming for you. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Seeing Other People listeners get 15% off their first order when you use code SOP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code SOP, S-O-P. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. I love that. I think that is an awesome strategy that I definitely need to try because I very much have like social anxiety, especially when it comes to like events or public speaking. And I fully panic. I go through the whole like, I have nothing to wear. Tries on 15 outfits. Everything looks terrible on me. Things that looked good on me yesterday look horrible. I can't go out in public like this. It's embarrassing. Nothing fits me. I don't feel good. Oh my God. Like my stomach hurts. Did I eat too much? Did I not eat enough? Yep. And then I'm just like, I can't go. I can't go.
Yep.
And I fully spiral. But like, no, I have to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I have to go.
For your own, especially, yeah. I mean, the amount of times that I think people are always like, wow, you didn't cancel. Wow. Because they expected of me to some extent.
me too. But no, I think that is so smart to like time it and say, okay, I'm allowing myself to panic and to cry and to scream and do whatever I need to do for the next 15 minutes. And then I'm going to put on my big girl pants and I'm going to go. And I'm not going to die. I'm going to be okay. I'll come back. And it'll be done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the truth. Like, we're not talking about stuff. Usually these are not things that are like actually dangerous situations.
No, but
things.
We get in our head. It's so easy to, I mean, even with something as simple as like a first date can cause so much anxiety, or going to a party where you know that somebody's going to be there that you don't want to see, or even just sometimes you just really don't want to go to something that you work it up so much in your head that it becomes this big thing that it's not.
Yep.
Yeah. That happens more often than I
that feeling very well.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of canceling plans, maybe this is why I knew I liked you from the start.
You're like, the vibes are there.
Yeah, the vibes are there. On your list of things you stopped doing.
Yes.
Feeling bad about saying I can't hang out when really my only plans were to take a bath and read.
Yes. So many people ask me about that or like say stuff like that about like to me being like, oh, don't your friends like get mad? Like, oh, what are you up to tonight? I'll just usually be like, oh, I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them I'll be like, I don't feel like it because they're good enough friends of mine that they're like
not in the mood.
That they're like, yeah, she just wants to read tonight and that's cool. But yeah, I think there's a lot of shame in that, or people like get guilted by other friends. And there's definitely people out there that are very like guilt people into going out and doing things. But to me, I'm just kind of like, I know who I am. I know how I like to structure my week. And if I have a really hectic week and I know I have like one night free, if a friend reaches out to me that I see often, obviously, if they're like here from out of town and stuff like that. Yeah. This isn't that kind of scenario. But like, no, I'm gonna say I can't do this night, but could you do that night? Or like last weekend I had a really social Saturday of like two friends' birthday parties. And Sunday I was like, no one can talk to me. We are in a cone of silence. And to me, I was like, I didn't reach out to anyone to make plans. Yeah. And if someone would have reached out to me, I would have just said, can't today, but let's do this day.
Yeah. And so what one thing I'm picking up on is that you're not like over explaining why you can't hang out. You're just saying
it depends
like
on who it is. I'm like, I have friends that I'm definitely close enough with to say, hey, it's my only night that I
like
don't.
It's my me night.
Yeah. Totally. I feel like I have friends that I'm definitely close enough with to say, hey, I have like such a hectic week and this is my only night that I don't have
something,
an event or an activity. Like it's like a no for me. So I definitely have friends that I feel like know me well enough to be like, yeah, of course. And then I feel like other people, if I'm not close enough with them or maybe they don't like know that about me, I'll just be like,
can't.
Yeah, I feel like usually it's like I give what days I'm like, when I'm trying to make plans with someone, it's like, oh, when are you free next week?
That's a good way to do it, to like almost say, like, yeah, like next week.
Yeah.
Or like to be the one to be like, do either of these days work for you?
I feel like when I'm making dinner plans with like my good friends, it's usually like, hey, when are you free this week? And for me, like, I'm not throwing out the day that I know I don't want it. I'm not going to want to do something.
That's where I go wrong. That's where I go wrong.
Yeah.
And then I end up like backing out or canceling or like being so exhausted. I'm like, this isn't going to be fun for anyone. And my fault is this is why I asked about you saying like, I can't. I overexplain.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I will write a paragraph or like a 3-page story about why I can't hang out. And there's no need for that.
I think it's because I feel bad. I think, yeah, there's certain friends. I think I'm just like, they just don't know me so well. Yeah. That they're just like, or I just don't offer. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's just like, it doesn't need to be that complicated.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, if I explain it. Sometimes I'm just like, hey, I just like need a night off.
Yeah. And that's okay. And that's something that we all need to get more comfortable doing.
Yeah.
Because we get to choose how we spend, like, time is the most valuable thing that we have.
Yeah.
And what we choose to do with it matters. And we have every right to decide to not spend it with certain people or with anybody.
Yeah.
Like, we should be looking out for ourselves and prioritizing ourselves and making sure we have what we need.
I will literally put in my planner if I notice that, like, oh, my week is really filling up, like, do not schedule. I will, like, block out and be like, do not schedule. Like, you, day off. No.
And that's so important.
Yeah.
You. I remember last fall I was talking to my therapist about how exhausted I was and how much stuff I had coming up. And he was like, okay, what's the next weekend that you're free that you can just block off and like maybe even take a 3-day weekend?
Yeah.
And I looked and I was like, in 9 weeks from now. And he's like, okay, well, you know what? That's the day you're doing it. And I put it on my calendar. I was like, okay, I'm doing
it. You block it off though.
You have to hold yourself accountable because no one else is going to.
True.
All right. Another thing on your list of things you stopped doing. And this one I especially love is being embarrassed about the things that you love.
Yes. Yes. Big one. I feel like you and I probably have like similar vibes on this one. Growing up, I was a musical theater girly. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a town that was not the vibe. And I was just like kind of the weird musical theater girl. And even in college as well, even though I was a theater major, I was in like a very like anti-musical theater program that they were like,
what?
I don't know. It was like a weird experimental downtown theater, if that means anything to anyone in New York, of like, like, oh, commercial theater is terrible. Like,
oh my God. Okay.
Blah, 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 blah. And to me, I was just like, okay, I'm going to like try to not let this out. And I don't know, I just didn't feel good and didn't feel very me. I think I like a lot of stuff that's very like shameful. Like, I became a One Direction fan in my 30s, very late in the game. I'm a massive Harry Styles fan. I like love Green Day, which I feel like also isn't cool and hip. And at this point, it's just kind of like, I like what I like and it makes me happy and it's not harming anyone. And like kind of this like weird shame and like trying to protect it. And I think like as I've gotten older, it's just becoming more comfortable with being me, and that like the ones that matter won't care or like think it's weird or make fun of it. And like oftentimes like you'll end up meeting people that you can relate to because of it. Like, I met a lot of people through like Harry Styles fan groups and stuff like that that I became like good friends with. Like, one of the birthday parties I went to this week, I'm with someone that I met through like Harry Styles world, essentially. And yeah, I feel like just as I've gotten older, it's just been like, no, I'm just gonna like be who I am and not try to hide those parts of me.
I my face like hurts right now from smiling. I couldn't love all of that more. And I mean, that's me with the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah,
my whole life.
I was at, I think we were at the same concert.
Oh my God. Oh my God. At Barclays. Yep. We were. Yep,
it was a great night.
Yep. That was.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, the more you embrace who you are, like, exactly, like, you're going to find your people.
Yeah.
And I feel like people get so embarrassed about like their quirks or their obsessions or shows that they like or musicians or authors, whatever it is that they're obsessed with. But the more you can actually own that and say, like, this is something that I love, this is something that I'm passionate about, the more you will find people who can relate, whether they're friends, whether they're people who you sign up for the same club with, whether yeah. it's someone to date. Like, you want to be surrounded by people who embrace those things about you.
Yeah.
And you should never feel like you have to hide those things or dumb them down and, like, play it cool.
For sure. Yeah. I feel like one of my big things is, like, I'm not cool. I am warm. Like, I
Stop. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. I think I stole it from Katie Dale Vows. I don't take full credit for it. But just of like, I'm not cool. I'm warm. I'm like usually overheated, if anything, is my like general state of being. And I think that was like a really like nice realization of like, no, like, why am I trying to be like cool? Like, just like be toasty. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. And what even is cool?
Yeah.
Like, what is cool? Is cool not caring? Is cool being yeah. chill? Is cool like,
I think of like the cool in Gone Girl. There's like the whole cool girl monologue yeah. that she like goes on.
Yeah, like there's very little that's actually appealing about cool.
Yeah,
and cool is in the eye of the beholder.
Very much so.
Yeah, like I think you're really cool.
Thank you.
But in a warm, toasty way.
In a warm, toasty way.
In a warm, toasty way, and that's the best way. Oh my God! No, I love, love, love that. I'm still sidetracked, like just thinking about Harry and Jonas and all that. Okay, speaking of things that you love
yes.
and that you're passionate about.
Yes.
I want to know what you've learned about love from books.
Yeah. So I'm a big reader. I'm a big reader of romance and different love stories as well. I think a big thing I've learned about love from books is just that, like, kind of that idea, going back to our whole cool conversation of, like, not changing yourself for someone and that, like, the right person will be okay with those quirks and all of these things about ourselves that sometimes we think are our flaws or the bad things are not always. And mm-hmm. I think I love that a lot of modern romances these days really go into that of like these flaws being your superpower to some extent, and that with the right people it doesn't matter, or that they will like especially love that about you. So I think that's been like a very comforting aspect to me.
I love that. And I think, I mean, first of all, it's so true.
Yeah.
And I think we spend so much time worrying about not being accepted or not being wanted or loved for who we are. But at the end of the day, you can try and be somebody else all you want. You're yeah. not going to meet the right person if you're doing that.
No.
The only way to find a relationship and a partner who actually loves you for you is to be yourself.
Yeah.
And the best way to be yourself is to first do everything we talked about and like learn to enjoy who you are and appreciate who you are. And the person who's you're supposed to be with, or a person who you're supposed to be with, will see all of that in you too and yeah, more.
Very much.
Yeah. You're in a relationship.
Yes.
How did you and your partner meet?
This is like an exclusive here because it hasn't been on online yet.
Breaking news.
Breaking
report.
News. We first met when we were in college working at a day camp together.
Oh my God, I love that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Wow. Were you both, you were both counselors?
Yes. And we were campers there when we were younger, and then in college, both worked there.
Oh my God. Okay. And then did you stay in touch this whole time? Did you reconnect later?
So we were together for 8 years and then broke up, but like never really wanted to be broken up.
Okay.
And kind of wanted to figure out how we could make it work. We ended up going to couples therapy, and that was kind of the big thing to figure out how we can figure out our future together. And then as of very recently, we're like, okay, like we're doing this for real now again.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. I'm really happy to hear that.
Thank you.
Whose idea was it to go to couples therapy, or what were the conversations that led to both of you saying like, yes, let's do this?
It was his idea, which is, I think, really cool and maybe something people wouldn't expect. His dad is a psychologist. I feel like he's very not afraid of that world mm-hmm. and very open to it. For both of us and for him, he was kind of like, I want to give this every chance that I can. And if there's anything that I know that that we could do to make this work, like, I want to give it a mm-hmm. chance. So that was kind of our attitude going into it of like, if this could be the thing that like helps us move forward, then like, why not?
Yeah.
Give it everything we could.
Are you open to talking a little bit about that experience of like being in couples therapy?
Yeah. I think it's very different depending on like what their approach is.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest that like some of it I resonated with me more than others of it. And some of it, like, he and I would kind of be like, I don't think this really applies to us. And so I think that part was interesting. And it's very different than, like, in your own therapy, it's focused on you. You're, like, right, the main character of the event. And in couples therapy, of kind of, like, catching someone else up on, like, your history and all of that, I think was really interesting. I think for us, what was really helpful about it was that it opened up a line of communication that we did not have previously, and to talk about certain topics and things that we just, like, didn't know how to approach. And it's not that they were, like, topics that made us fight. We just would, like, freeze up and not want to, like, get over that hump. So I think for us, it was really helpful to have those conversations, and then also realize how much was, like, working in the relationship and what we pictured in our future, and, like, kind of showed more of the what we have in common versus, like, what we were not on the same page about. So I think that was a really helpful part of it.
So he now also loves Harry Styles, is what you're saying.
I feel like he's very neutral. I think he's just, like, so used to, like, this is her latest obsession. And, like, yeah, if Harry Styles came about, she would definitely leave me for him. And he's kind of like, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, the chances of that happening are so rare that I'm okay taking that risk.
Yeah.
He's open to it.
I love that. And I'm so glad that you guys found it helpful and that it helped you communicate with each other. And I think that's really the purpose of it. And I thank you for opening up about it a little, because I think it's something that it's becoming less and less taboo over time.
Yeah.
But it's something I wish more people would lean into, especially if, you know, like, relationships are hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard to join your life and someone else's life together. Like, there are going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be questions that come up, and talking about those things.
Yeah.
We've never been trained how to do that.
No. I think you've been realizing that, like, I think I definitely had an image of, like, what a couple that goes to couples therapy looks like, mm-hmm. as far as, like, a weird stigma about it. And it's like, it's not necessarily screaming matches or, like, intensity. It can just be that, like, we're trying to figure out a way to move forward, and there's, like, something that is blocking us from doing that.
Yeah. And I think the biggest theme through this discussion is, like, you were working together as a team.
Yeah. I think that was even, like, a reminder of it, of, like, oh, yeah, we are a team.
Yeah, and we want this to work, and we're in this together.
Yeah.
We're all in this.
Exactly.
Jumping back and forth here.
Yes.
Favorite romance novel.
Favorite romance novel. Okay, so if we're going, like, true romance, which I'm working in the book world, so I feel like I have to mention this, of, like, if it's considered a romance, it has to have happily ever after. There's, like, a lot of...
Interesting.
Yeah, didn't know that until recently.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that until way more recently. But, like, in order for a book to be categorized as romance, technically it has to have a happily ever after.
I don't like that.
Neither do I, because I actually kind of... I mean, like, one of my favorite ones is not quite that. But my favorite, like, true romance, it's probably Every Summer After by Carly Fortune.
Shout
which
out.
You like as well.
Hint, shout out. Yeah, I mean, that book is probably the book that, like, made me fall in love with reading, because I don't know if I was ever in love with reading. And I don't know that I'm in love with reading yet, but I'm on my way.
I love that.
It made me
a process.
Really like reading and want to read a lot more.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a very good book for that, I feel too.
Wait, I don't like this.
Yeah, it's a very interesting. So if a book is going to be categorized as romance, it has to have happily ever after.
What would it be categorized as if it doesn't have a happily ever after? Drama?
Like,
general fiction.
General fiction, and, like, calling it, like, a love story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I didn't realize it until way more recently.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of going in knowing the ending, which some people like.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So, like, some people really like that. I think for me, it's, like, one of my issues with the genre, actually, of, like, when I read a romance, I need to have, like, there needs to be a small part of me that believes it's not going to work out.
Yeah. Can you tell, like, let's say you didn't know the genre. Can you tell when you start reading a book? Like, are you, like, guessing what's going to happen? Do you have an idea based on, like, how the story arc is going?
It's funny. There was one book that I read a little bit before it came out, Emily Henry's Happy Place last year, that I, like, had. I got a copy of it a few weeks before it came out. And while I was reading it, I had a moment of, like, is this not going to get categorized? Like, in my head there, I, like, had that suspending my disbelief of, like, I actually don't know. Like,
yeah.
I assume this is going to get categorized as a romance, but, like, there was a small part of me that was like, is this fiction book from her. It's a romance. I'm like, yeah. It's kind of like, I guess, spoiler. Like, spoiler alert, but like it's worth the journey to get there. But I think usually I like know because of like where I picked it up in a bookstore. Yeah. But I do like trying to find those like one-offs, things that are not traditional romances. Yeah.
Is there a book that comes to mind that would be like most reflective of modern day, like real life relationships?
Real life relationships. I think Happy Place was actually that book for me that I felt was, it was about a couple that broke up and getting back together.
Oh my God.
So for me, when I was reading it, I was like, oh my God, this resonates a little too hard. And I think the way it spoke about breakups and that experience was like the most honest I'd seen reflected in a book.
I need to read it.
As far as like modern dating, I feel like Dolly Alderton really has like a good grasp on that between Ghost and her new book, Good Material, that they're just like accurate reflections, I think, of just like the hot mess aspects of relationships and dating.
For sure. Have you ever thought about writing a book?
In theory, yes. Like, I have, like, a bunch of docs that are started with, like, 5 pages of writing. Seriously, no. But in theory, I'm like, I like the idea of it, but I don't know if I've, like, put in any of the actual work for it yet.
Okay. So, not yet.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Never say never, but it's not, like, a top three goal for the next couple of years.
I weirdly, probably because of, like, the podcast and social stuff, and I don't know if you have the same, but I have like random publishing companies that I've never heard of like emailing me like once a week being like, hey, like we think you should write a book.
Yeah.
And every time I'm like, that's so flattering, but like what are you? Like what are you? But it's planted a seed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, should I? And I have sometimes like I'll be interviewed and I'll have to like write down the answers to these like questions and they're like long drawn out answers.
Yeah.
And I'll end up writing probably like 5 pages and I'm
that's like your chapter outlines. Yeah.
No, literally. And I started saving them in a doc called book question mark.
Yeah, yeah.
So like maybe not yet, maybe.
Well, it's interesting because for fiction versus nonfiction, I now have learned all of this. In nonfiction, you usually don't write the whole book before you sell it. You do like a chapter outline and a like small, I want to call it like a demo, but I'm sure there's a real word for it. And then whereas in fiction, pretty much always, at least for like selling the first book, you've already like finished the whole book and like handed to them.
Got it.
Pretty much complete.
In your opinion, and you don't work like in publishing, sort. Well, you do.
I work like, for bookshop.org, so it's like so an it's e-commerce. Like,
okay.
In book world.
My question was going to be, how realistic is the show Younger?
I've actually asked a lot of people about it because I have friends in publishing, and it like definitely is a very glamorized version of it.
Yeah.
I think they're like some of the jobs they're like that would never be a version of the job. I think there's like small aspects of it. And it's funny because there's like definitely authors that it's like, oh, this is like they're based on them. Uh-huh. But I think like anything, it's a very dramatized version of it.
I'm rewatching it maybe for the fourth time. It's
just like, so good.
It's the best feel good.
When I was interviewing for my current job two years ago, I was like, I'm going to rewatch Younger to like hype myself up.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah, it got me here.
Oh, my God. Okay, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Before we go, one final question. What is the best piece of dating or relationship advice you've ever received or have to give?
Yes. I've been thinking about this all day because I know you asked this question.
Wait, I love that you actually listen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All day I was like, oh my God, I have to like come up with something good and juicy. And I don't know if I have come up with something good and juicy.
We'll be the judge.
I think what I have is just like, don't sweat the small stuff of like, for the right people, it won't matter of just like who you are and little quirks and however you act with them. Like if it's right, it's going to be right. So like the little things are not going to like ruin the potential in a relationship. So just like, don't forget about the small stuff. Just like look at the bigger picture, because with the right person, it just like doesn't matter.
I love that. You crushed it.
Thank you.
You did great. High five. Woo! Kayla, thank you so much for being here. Where can everybody find you?
Thank you. You can find me on Instagram at Kayla Kleinman. And then I also have a Substack called Silly Little Things, which is through my name on Substack as well.
Amazing. That is linked in the show notes, you guys. This is seriously such a treat. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Guys, seriously, go follow Kayla. Go follow. Great. my little device here just fell. Go follow Kayla. Please give her all the love. She deserves it. And her content is like, it's just going to be the brightest spot in your day. So please go check it out. And then please also leave a 5-star rating interview if you haven't yet, because it means a lot to me. So thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own dating horror stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.
Mads, I am obsessed with our brand pillars.
You mean vagina sweat, good branding, and being Jewish blooded queens, Scout?
Sure, but not quite. I love that OKSIS podcast and our sisterhood is made up of women who are down for main character energy only, who take care of their mental health, and who are standing in their personal power as entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah, that too, Scout, that too. We should probably introduce ourselves. Hello everyone, I am Mads.
And I am Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
Join us on OKSIS Podcast every Monday for some sisterly banter, nourishing mental health, a whole lot of silliness, and inspiring interviews from the raddest female guests in the game.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood!